Well, good morning, church family. It's so good to be with you all on this snowy morning, even though it was so beautiful on Friday. It was, I don't know, I can't make up its mind. That's Kentucky, right? But it is so good to be with you all. I have two very quick announcements before we begin our service together. One, I just wanted to remind you of an opportunity for an evening of prayer and worship down in the atrium on Sunday, January 25th at 5 p.m. We would love to see you there as we worship in an acoustic and reflective style and focus on an opportunity to pray together as a church, which is going to be very wonderful. Additionally, John and I are going to be teaching another class together on what Methodists believe, which is very exciting. If you took part in it last year, we had a great time. And if you are interested in learning more about what we as Methodists believe, it is a great opportunity to enter into that. And that is going to be on Wednesday, January 28th, starting at 6 p.m. And that will also be down in the atrium. And we'll be going on for 4 weeks together with that. So exciting things in the life of Southern Hills, as always. And with that, why don't we stand and share the peace of Christ with one another? Would you pray with me? Lord, you are in this place. We know that where two or more are gathered, that your presence is indeed here with us. And we come to experience your presence, Lord. We pray that as we enter into this time of worship, that our hearts are softened and that you prepare our hearts and our minds to encounter you and to be changed by your Holy Spirit and your sanctifying grace. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come in our midst. I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. The voice of God calls over the waters.
Beloved, receive the Holy Spirit.
The Son of God beckons.
Beloved, be born of water and Spirit.
The Spirit of God proclaims.
Beloved, be born anew this day.
The voice of God calls through our baptism, come, let us worship. As we continue to honor God with our praise, let us recite the psalm that is appropriate for this very special baptism of the Lord day. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters.
The voice of the Lord
breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forests bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Brothers and sisters, once again, it's my joy that today we join together as we receive another person in baptism into the church. And my heart is very joyous this morning. I want to invite Elia and her family to come up here and to be with us. And then I also want to invite all of the rest of the congregation. You have a part in this too, and I invite you to turn to page 39 in the hymnal. How are you doing, Aliyah? You doing okay? You doing good? I'm so excited. Are you?
Yes.
Yeah. I love your bows too. They're awesome. All right. I'm going to say a few things first, and then I'm going to talk with you and your parents, okay? Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of holy baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. We're given new birth through water and the Spirit, and all of this is God's good grace given to us without price. And so I'd like to ask you all some questions, and you respond, I do. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom that God and the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus as your Savior? And do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And this last one, you'll say, I will. And will you nurture Aliyah in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and by your example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself as she grows in the faith, to profess her faith openly and to lead a Christian life.
I will.
Okay, now, Aliyah, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, because we were using all kinds of big people words there, but I wanted to ask you, do you love Jesus in your heart? And do you want to follow Him and be His disciple? Yeah, awesome. And brothers and sisters in the church, down there in section 8, if you'll follow me at the bottom of page 40, do you all, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Aliyah before you now in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Aliyah with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And over to the next page. The Lord be with you. Eternal God and Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and you brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land in which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death, resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory upon all people. And so, Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who will receive it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout all of her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. All righty. I'm going to ask Parker if you and Joan will come and join me and all of the rest of the family. And Elijah, we're just going to put our hands on your shoulders, okay? It's just because we want to show how much we love you. You can stand right here. Your mom and dad are behind you. Yeah, there we go. Elijah Aileen Varner, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born and baptized by water and the Spirit, you may be a true and faithful disciple all of the days of your life. Amen. Amen. And I have to tell you, Elijah, you had the best response when I was baptizing you because you started chuckling. And it's a really happy thing. It really, really is. So we just want to say a couple more things to you all over on page 43. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Elijah to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already done, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory in Christ, establish in you, Elijah, and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. God bless you.
Our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Kathy.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Good. Did you enjoy that baptism?
Yeah.
How many of y'all have been baptized, you know? Okay, good deal. Well, we're going to talk about Jesus' baptism today. And do you all remember who baptized Jesus? Very good. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And what do we baptize people with? Well, yeah, it's plastic. I wanted to bring something that wouldn't break. So we baptize people with water. And when Jesus was baptized, after he came out of the water, after John the Baptist baptized him, God said, "This is my son, with whom I am pleased." Do you remember that? Have you heard that story before? So, let's see. You want to be my volunteer? Okay, let me have your hand. Okay, I'll put it in there. And it should wash off. It says washable marker. If it's not, blame Dollar Tree. Did it come off? Yep, it'll come off. Sorry. So when Jesus was baptized, he didn't have sin, so he didn't really need to be cleansed, but we are baptized to take away our sin when we believe in Jesus. Sorry. Okay, well, maybe some soap later. Sorry, I promise it says washable. Anyway, so when we're baptized, it takes away our sin. And when God said that he was pleased with Jesus, the people knew that he was truly the Son of God. All right, let's have a prayer and go to Children's Church. Dear God, we thank you for these wonderful children and their love for you and the fact that they show joy in coming to your home, Lord. We just ask that you would be with them and help them to become your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a better entrance to our time of confession than to have witnessed baptism, where we see with our eyes the knowledge of the way that our God has liberated us from sin and death, and we have proclaimed together a renewal of our covenant to resist those forces and embrace new creation. Let us pray this prayer of confession together. Gracious One, wash over us with your baptism of forgiveness and reconciliation. When we neglect justice, when we cause strife, when we walk away from your path of discipleship, forgive us. Wash over us with your baptism of forgiveness and reconciliation, that we may be made whole again. Amen. Hear the good news. See, the former things have passed away. In Christ, new hope is declared. Grace springs forth, and reconciliation with God is ours for the asking. Rejoice, for in Christ we are forgiven and made new. Rejoice, beloved, for God is well pleased to offer us forgiveness in grace and love.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the God of justice and mercy. You are abounding in steadfast love. You are quick to forgive, and you long to set the world right. You hold these truths together, mercy and justice, when they can so easily be considered opposites to us. As we gaze around our world, or we've seen what is around us in the news, we know that the world does not reflect our hope for earth to resemble heaven. Your work and the work that you invite us into as the church remains unfinished. It is palpable as we sense the anxiety, the despair, and the distress of our time. But you are a God who finishes what you started. Our hope is fixed in the knowledge that you will set things right, that you have already come alongside us and stand in solidarity with us, even as you are also our liberator. Lord, may you steel our hearts in this hope. May we not succumb to numbness or apathy, but may we be resilient in our hope. May we not despairingly accept the violence and anxiety of our time as simply the way the world works, but remain resolute in your example of inbreaking into our time to change us, to challenge our hardness, and to share in our sufferings in a radical empathy that changes the world. May we follow your example in all of these things. And in that same spirit of coming alongside, may we intercede on your behalf for the life of the world. We pray, Lord, for peace, and we pray that you will give us the courage to work toward it. We pray for healing where there is sickness. We pray for deliverance from addiction, injustice, and poverty. And Lord, we also pray, as you taught us, to consider our enemies. Work in our lives to learn to love them as you once loved us when we were enemies of yours, as Paul says. And in unity with churches around the world of every nation and tongue, every affiliation and culture, we pray as you taught us now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offerings.
Praise to Him, new songs of joy they raise to Him, both day and night.
Almighty God, as you have done already, continue to pour out your Spirit upon us, we, your church, brothers and sisters, and your children. And Lord, also bless these tithes and offerings for your kingdom and your kingdom alone. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wanted to see if you all are a little bit like me, in that it is really so much fun and very easy to start a project, isn't it? I mean, it could be something like, I don't know, you're going to repaint the living room, and you go and you're excited. You go to Lowe's, and you know those little containers you can get, the little samples, and you get five or six of those of your colors, and then you take your brush and you make big circles on the wall about that big, and you look at it for a little bit, and you try and decide what you're going to choose, but I don't know, you don't want to rush into things, right? So you kind of just live with it for a week, and then kind of a week turns into 2 weeks, and then I don't know, 3 weeks maybe. I don't want to tell on myself here or anything, but you know, you have people come in and you're having dinner with them or whatever. You're just hanging out with them, and it's like, what's the deal with all the paint on the wall there? No, well, we're gonna paint the room here in a bit. Oh gosh, I have to confess. I mean, about 5 months ago, I started a piece of furniture in the shop, and I was really excited about it. And I have all the wood already, and it's just going to match something that I've already made. And I made the top and the bottom, and it looks great. And it's sat there now for 5 months, and I've not done anything about it. And I'm like, oh, gosh. But that's the way it is, isn't it? We kind of feverishly dive into all of these things, these things that we want to do, these exciting new projects in life, and then life interrupts. School starts back up. You got to get the kids to here, there, and everywhere. Maybe you're going to run down to Florida for a little bit to get away from the Kentucky winter. I was down in Florida last weekend. I know why you guys go down there. Snowbirds. It makes so much sense. And 72 degrees, it's just perfect. So we get into those sorts of projects and we start to procrastinate a little bit and we leave it halfway done. The bathroom that you have renovated, well, at least the toilet works. The sink doesn't. But hey, you know, we have to have priorities. We do all of these sorts of things. And we just lose that desire to just finish it up. That last 30% can be so hard to get done. But, you know, it goes beyond just home projects or art projects or, you know, our hobbies or things that we like to do. It's also just our life as well, isn't it? I begin to think a little bit this week about all of the things in life that we leave undone. We're surrounded by unfinished things. Not only those half-painted rooms, but also the unfinished conversations that we've been meaning to have, but we've just not found the right time to do it. maybe those good ideas that we never put into practice or gave birth to. Maybe it's those unsaid words that we so want to say, but we never find the time to do it. I was thinking about that very thing this week, and I have read that there was an entire generation, actually, of men who never heard their father say to them, "Son, I love you," because it just was not the way that it was. It wasn't the way it was. And they didn't get the blessing like Jesus did about hearing his Father in heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I think below that, too, is this underlying foundation of it's expression of this deep love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit share. But those unsaid things. Other things, though, are unresolved conflict. You know, the things that we really should take care of, but they just kind of hang out in the background like a little gnat that buzzes around you every once in a while. You can hear it, but you can swat it away every once in a while. There's unresolved grief because you know how it is when you lose a friend or a loved one and things kind of start kicking into motion. You have to do the funeral preparations, and then there's this, that, and the other afterward to close the estate, on and on and on. And it seems like life just keeps on moving on, and people keep on moving on, and you just don't have the time. There's this unfinished grief in order to just bring that to a little bit better of a resolution in life. And then, of course, there's dreams that we defer for one reason or another. All of this unfinished stuff that you and I carry around in our life. But that's us. But it's not Jesus. It's very different with Jesus. And this particular passage is so rich. There's so many things that are going on here. But I really think that for today, what we need to hear, what I need to hear, we all need to hear, is to hear that with Jesus, he is a completer of undone things. It really is interesting because, you know, Jesus is coming to John in the Jordan Valley here, and there is this conversation that's had between Jesus and John. And the New Living Translation, it kind of captures kind of the folksy way of maybe the way that they would have said it. But really, there were some more things going on here. We'll talk about it in the podcast, I'm sure, this week. But John is really taken aback. He's like, this isn't right. I mean, Jesus, I know who you are. You're sinless. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to offer up repentance. And Jesus uses this word, or it's documented in Matthew in this way. Jesus says to John, it's almost like I forgive you. That's the impetus of it. Or I allow you, John, to do this. And the reason is, Jesus says, is that this is fitting for the fulfillment of righteousness. For the fulfillment of righteousness. Now, that's kind of one of those churchy words or churchy sentences that maybe you hear a lot of at the time, but probably you're like, well, what does that really mean? How do we understand that? How does that apply to me? And how do I live that out in my life? And I think that's a really, really good question to ask. But I think that what Jesus is saying in that phrase and why he goes to John to be baptized is that Jesus is saying that even though this is a world where things often are left undone, Jesus does not roll that way. He's all in. And he finishes what he starts. You know, to John, and he says this, you know, Jesus, you're sinless. You don't need to be baptized. What are you even talking about? And I like to maybe take that phrase that I talked about earlier, that really churchy phrase that, you know, this is fitting for the fulfillment of righteousness. Maybe another way to say it would be this. John, nothing essential in my ministry will be skipped because I'm doing it all the right way and in the fullness of the right way, and all will be complete. Nothing will be skipped at all. Now, when we often think about Jesus' baptism, we sometimes think about it in symbolic ways, right? Well, Jesus is trying to show us how we need to live our lives as a disciple of Jesus. And part of that is, one of the steps is like Elijah experienced today, we were baptized and we make a profession of faith and we are surrounded by the church that's going to help us grow in the faith and all that's good. And Jesus was just kind of showing us how it's done. It's very kind of symbolic kind of mentality. But can I just maybe challenge you a little bit that we go a little deeper than that by me saying to you, it's more than just symbolism. It is an act of solidarity. What Jesus does here is an act of solidarity with you as his disciples, as his family. I kind of like to explain it maybe like this. Now, I never had this happen. Maybe none of you all ever had this happen either. In my imagination, I would like to think that it sometimes could happen. But can you imagine, maybe you played a sport in high school, and as part of that sport, you had to run laps for conditioning at the very, very beginning of practice. And whether you're a football or basketball or whatever, wrestling or whatever it is, you got to run 2 or 3 miles, and it's to get your heart going, you know, and build up your heart and your strength. And often we picture that as your coach is standing on the sidelines hollering at you, blowing the whistle, and keep on going, keep on going. But what if your coach, after telling you run 3 miles, starts jogging with you? Because they want to show you that they're going through it with you as an act of solidarity. And they run the 3 miles as well. They won't leave it unfinished. They'll go the whole way with you. And that's what Jesus' baptism is. Jesus is saying, I will not let it be undone. And this is an act of solidarity with you, that I'm not just going through all of the motions, but I'm actually going through it with you. Now, in faith, I think a lot of times we can start to examine our lives. We're getting ready to enter into Lent very shortly, and that's a time of self-examination, right? And we start thinking about our lives, and we think about our sin, and we think about our mortality. And in faith, sometimes I think we look at the uncompleted nature of our relationship with Jesus and the uncompleted nature of our growth in Jesus. And it's so easy, isn't it, to just lose hope? Because it was like, I've been working on this a long time with you, Jesus, and yet, here it is, one more time. What we end up doing so many times, we fall into this kind of pattern of trying harder, trying not to mess up, kind of doing all the right things and all of that. But I think that we need to remember, brothers and sisters, that Jesus stepped into the unfinished business of your life, of your soul, of the process of you becoming a holy person, a child of God. And if you hear me say nothing else but one thing today, the one thing I would want you to hear is this. What he has started in you, maybe as young as when you were Eliah's age, what he has started in you, he will not leave unfinished. Jesus is the God who finishes the unfinished. Thanks be to God, our Lord and our Savior. If this has touched your heart, I invite you to not only have a heart of prayer in our closing hymn, but also join in with the wonderful lyrics of this final hymn, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Sky. Charles Wesley's quite the hymn writer, and he has some beautiful words in this hymn. I invite you to make those words your own as we sing together. 173. Let's stand and sing. Brothers and sisters, may the Spirit of Christ, who dwells deeply and richly in each and every one of you, bring you to fullness and completeness all the days of your life. May Christ's Spirit give you hope and peace, that you are never abandoned, but instead that Jesus is all in it with you. He's with you and will walk all the way. The peace and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you and upon you all of the days of your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.